And I said, "May I know what kind of food it is?" And the angels showed it to me and gave me some to drink. And I noticed that it was extremely sweet, and I could imagine that these little ones probably liked it. Then I wanted to know further, is it milk or something similar, like the milk from animals that they give to children on Earth? Dash. No, they said, it is not milk from animals. We do not need milk from animals here, but we have a wonderful, wonderful fruit. We will show you the forest or the garden where this wonderful fruit grows. Then, on the instructions of one of my companions, they brought me such a fruit. It was the size of a normal apple. The liquid in this fruit was visible. It was of a milky nature, a milky substance. The angel showed me that all you had to do was scratch the fruit a little in a certain place so that this milk would flow out. They held out a cup, and this precious thing flowed from this fruit into the cup. "This is from the garden of God," said the angel. "All the food we eat comes from the heavenly gardens." On the one hand I was astonished, but on the other hand I had prepared myself for surprises, because I was now in heaven, and it was clear to me that heaven was full of surprises and full of things that I could not understand. And I actually didn't want to ask about them in detail. I wanted to wait until I was ready to understand these individual things. For example, why you have to give the small child in the heavenly world its food. And so I thought to myself, God knows why it is done like that. So I left this house with my companions and went into the next one next door. There were children playing together. I estimated them to be between 2 and 5 years old by earthly standards. They had their beggars too, but these were no longer, I would say, as plump and cute as those of the very small ones. It was more like a kind of cot. There was also a colorful blanket over it, and I assumed it was very pleasant for these little ones. They could talk to each other in the room. But I was told that most of their time was spent outside the house, and that these children could not be kept in the house. I was told, these children need entertainment, and they must also be given loving care and a loving upbringing. These children were previously in that other house and were then allowed to come here. They are all under the care of the heavenly messengers. I was led out of this house and told, these little ones' lives are spent mostly outside, not in the house. From time to time they are brought back to their house to rest, because they need rest and they have to sleep according to a certain rhythm. So I was led out into a wonderful, beautiful garden. And again my first thought was, what I see here can also be seen on Earth now and then. You see it in those mothers who have time for their children, who can devote themselves to them, who look after them with love. I saw small ponds in this garden in which these little ones were playing. Then there were bridges, there were tunnels. I would say it was similar to when children on Earth play in the sand and make their little streams, build their bridges and houses and the like. As I saw it here in the spiritual world, however, there was not a playground filled with sand, but a small bridge was actually made of these spiritual materials, and these little beings could climb over it. Some went under these tunnels, others played by the stream, others by the ponds and so on. They had their occupation. But someone drew my attention and said, "You see, the children, here and there they are at odds with each other, because even in the spiritual realm, something comes out of the inner being of a small child. Some are always ready to stand back and let the others come forward. Some try to rule and govern, while the others are obedient and always do exactly what the others say. But these children are looked after by the angels of God and they are encouraged to be at peace with each other. They must therefore learn to share the things they have for their entertainment, let's say toys. Or they must learn that when one is playing, it can stay in this place without being pushed out by the other, because it happens that one is pushed away because it suits the other to be in that place. But the little ones must also learn to do without. They must learn to be very loving towards each other, and when one has already taken its place for a certain time, it must give up its place to the other with kind words and look for other entertainment. In this way these little ones are taught love, and one cannot yet speak of understanding. But they must learn to get along with each other. That is not always possible, because these little creatures express what is deep within them. But the wonderful thing, it was explained to me, is that the unpleasant things in their inner being can be repressed, even in these small children. So, as it was shown to me, playing is connected with education. These angels, who are numerous among these children, strive to teach the children obedience. It was explained to me that the most important thing is to teach the small child obedience and respect for others. That is how the child is brought up. As I said, in this house that I entered and in this garden, children were taken in up to the age of 5, according to earthly calculations. This was a village of children, because in the next house there were children again, but older ones, from the age of 6 upwards, it was again a certain group of its own. Here too, these children could play for a certain amount of time. I saw that they also had a garden. It was explained to me that a large part of their stay or their work took place in the gardens. They were also taught here, but they returned to their house at regular intervals and each took their place to sleep, because they also needed rest. When I asked whether it was necessary for people to actually sleep in the kingdom of heaven, I was enlightened and told, during the time that children rest, they will grow, for they will not always be the same size, but they will grow in their spiritual bodies, and they will grow in their souls with their thoughts and wills. That is why this rest is necessary. I also observed that the children were much more receptive after this rest. They were much calmer in their nature or, as you say, rested. They had become more obedient and were now better able to carry out the instructions they were given. Because the game had also made them somewhat tired and they needed to sleep. It is arranged that way by heaven, they explained to me. They took me into other houses and said, here, in this village, the children are up to about 12 years of age, according to earthly calculations. The older ones then live in another village, very close by, and there they also have their tasks to fulfill. I was taken to that village, and I saw these children too. They had to learn according to a rhythm. I don't want to talk about time, because in the spiritual world time is not measured like it is for people. They learned about the laws of God, they learned a uniform language. I would like to say that everyone who was in the same house learned the same language, and they learn many other things that are already connected to the laws of God. Well, I have neglected to say that all other children learn a language from infancy onwards and that the same language is always spoken in a house, so to speak. And that is how they communicate with one another. The angels of God who come and go speak different languages and can converse with one or the other. Thus a very specific development takes place in every house. And, as I was told, the education will continue in the same language that the small child has learned, but the individual will then be better trained in this language. It is just like with you humans when a small person grows up and has more and more to learn. In the spiritual world, this small child also grows up into an independent being who must be able to distinguish right from wrong at his level and to fulfill the tasks set for him. And that is how education takes place. It was explained to me that this plane I am talking about has many, many villages. Because there are so many tribes or peoples that live on earth. And so many children from these peoples, when they die, come to their very specific place in the spiritual realm, where they can grow up among their own kind. Only later, after a certain point in time, do they join the others and learn to understand each other. Those who speak a different language, who look completely different, are brought together. Now I have something else to explain to you, which I was also taught. There are also children, let's say from the second year of life onwards, who cause difficulties for their teachers, who keep trying to do the opposite of what they are told, who are disobedient and uncooperative. If it is recognized that nothing can be achieved with a child despite great devotion and sacrifice, it is taken out and brought to another village where there are other children who are just as, let us say, unruly. There are many more angels of God who look after these children. They have to make much more sacrifice and give greater devotion to these beings. They are those, so I was told, who have risen from the unfortunate world and have taken on human clothing and then, when they leave the world as children, are still full of contradictions and do not understand how to fit into this order like the others. So what is expressed in their humanity, in their soul, this unevenness, this imperfection, is already shown in small measure in these spirit children. So they need even more careful and attentive education and are looked after with great love. But when they have then put that time of training behind them, they are soon prepared for a new life on earth. They must then try to prove that they have gained much for the future through their previous short life on earth, through their early return to the spirit world, because some of their rebelliousness has been overcome by this care and great sacrifice of God's angels. So a return home in early childhood has something valuable about it. I am told that I should explain to you why a child who dies after a few days on earth is also a child in the spiritual world. I had also asked this question because I imagined that with God everything was possible, that the spirit did not have to be so childlike, but rather took on a certain level of development and maintained it. Then I was told, when a being is destined for another life on earth, it needs preparation for it, it goes through a certain transformation. In this transformation, the spirit body, which in the spiritual realm has a, let's say, normal size, is now reduced in size. This form is in a certain sense constricted, the physical size is reduced, and thinking is as if put to sleep. If this being, this spiritual body or this spiritual body is united with the earthly body, there is a common growth. The spiritual body grows with the earthly body, and the thinking that was constricted, this dependence that was given to this being, must then very slowly dissolve again. Very slowly this being will become what it was in its previous external form in the beyond, in its real spiritual form, and with this growth its thinking must open up again, expand. The impressions that a young person now takes in his life influence his spiritual thinking and will. There is a union, a unification, and in every being the real development that it has achieved over the course of many, many years is expressed. I would like to say, the soul becomes more and more refined. The body that surrounds the soul gives the strength and the opportunity to refine itself a little more. It is like a tree that is planted in good soil and that one tries to refine slowly. This refinement cannot take place overnight, but only after a certain amount of time will the peak be reached. And so it is with this soul. The spirit body must grow into the body, grow with it, expand with it, that is how it will grow. If an early death occurs, this spirit body will be the same size, the same type, according to the previous transformation. And so the spiritual world must, for its part, raise this deceased little human being, this spirit being. It must care for it and support its growth. That is how it happens. People have no real idea of these things. God wants it to happen in this way, in this just way, because you must consider, I am being suggested to tell you, how different lives lie behind every being. If a being could take all of its memories with it or carry them within itself and if they could become apparent at certain times, if these memories could not be raised, then that could be detrimental to a person. But God wants to give everyone the opportunity to start anew, to begin again. During the transformation for the new earthly life, these memories, I can say, are not completely erased, but they are so restricted that in later life or in the mature life of the person it is rarely possible to look back into his previous lives. So these memories are erased. Because by having the opportunity to start his life fresh on new ground, to start anew unburdened in his thinking, he can rise more quickly and be faithful to God. He will have fewer questions and accusations to God or to his fellow human beings. This is how the individuals are there, and he only sees his personal life, which he has already left behind, and thinks about what may come his way in the future, what he can organize, and so on. He can thus shape his personal life, can devote himself to his life, unburdened by everything that has happened before, unburdened by whether what happened before could be detrimental or beneficial to him. In this way, God gives every being the opportunity to make a new start. When the time has come when this spiritual maturity has taken place, then the being in its soul is opened up so much that there is no longer any restriction in thinking. Instead, there is an unfolding, an expansion, there is an understanding of all these things that are incomprehensible to so many. But in order to understand these incomprehensible things, real spiritual maturity is required. After a certain time, one person or another will come to the point where it will become clear to them, or they will be told what used to weigh on them. They may be given explanations for their previous existences, but perhaps not. For one person it is an advantage and benefit to know this, while for another it would be an obstacle. So the spirit world of God will then arrange everything and give everyone the opportunity to experience and learn what they are capable of understanding. So the beings enter a new life on earth without any worries, and in this world that is new to them they can start anew. And a light shines on each one, it is the light of the Redeemer that shows everyone the way, one can hold on to his cross and stand upright. So, dear brothers and sisters, I have tried, even if perhaps now and then a little hesitantly in my explanations, but to the best of my ability, to give you an insight into my experiences in the spirit world of God. And I would like to hope that I have carried out my task or my explanation to the satisfaction of my higher spirit brothers and sisters. As I leave you, I ask the blessing of the Heavenly Father for all of you. Greetings from God. End of the recording. Edition from the first publication in the magazine Geist Eichwelt. Dear Joseph, we know that small children sometimes appear at spiritistic materialization sessions. The fact that this can happen is a little strange to me. Does the spiritual world really allow small children to manifest themselves? Or is this a manifestation of lower spirits? Joseph, oh no, if it is a matter of giving people a testimony of the continued existence, then that is also possible. It has nothing to do with lower spirit beings, because the good spirit world can also take part in such events in order to give their own testimony of the continued existence. Can deceased small children, whose souls, as we were previously taught, do not require any special purification, be reborn quite soon, that is, before their spirit body has grown, as seems to generally happen in this children's village? Joseph, no, these children's souls are not reincarnated from the stage of childhood, they must have already undergone a certain period of upbringing, and some growth must have taken place. But there are reports where in individual cases such rapid reincarnations of children's souls seem to have taken place. Joseph, dear brothers and sisters, it is true that this can happen now and then. It is then a special calling, and in order for this to happen, special precautions and reasons are again required in the spiritual world. You must never forget that there are always exceptions, but they are justified, so that one should never generalize. In the previous story of the sister from the children's paradise, there was also talk of her guardian spirits, who had come to receive her. I was of the opinion that people usually only have one actual guardian spirit, but also have helping beings around them who are subordinate to the guardian spirit. Since this sister spoke in the plural, did she also mean such guiding spirits? Joseph, there are different spirits around each person in this sense. Some are there to protect even small children. Others only come to people later or in their more mature lives, along with the guardian spirit, with whom the connection is not always the same. The guardian spirit can also feel superfluous and then take on another, equally important task. But that does not mean that the spiritual connection with him is dissolved, he will still be connected. You have also already been informed that these guardian or guiding spirits are replaced depending on the way of life or maturity of the person, that if the person aligns himself with the spiritual, he also becomes higher, receives a spiritual companion. But that doesn't mean that you then separate from the others and never see each other again, as is possible with people. In the spiritual realm, the connection remains, even if you have fulfilled the task with the person concerned. Report of the ascending spirit being Karen and answers to questions from spirit teacher Joseph by mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Mar 1 Court in Kaldenstrasse, Zurich. Original, tape recording and first publication in the magazine Geistige Welt. Next case. November 7, 1962, Magdalena, foster mother favored her own children. Substitute for lack of motherly love, in the world beyond. Magdalena learns how her foster child was lovingly cared for and looked after by his deceased parents during his sleep. Control Spirit, greetings. God bless you, I am the Control. Dear brothers and sisters, a spirit sister is speaking to you by the name Magdalena. She will tell you and give you explanations. We wish God's blessing on you all. Greetings. Magdalena, greetings. My dears. My name is Magdalena. I had 6 children and a relative as well - our family had 7 children. My husband looked after them in an exemplary manner. The child we adopted was my brother-in-law's child. He had died early along with his wife, and so we decided to take this child into ours and raise it together with the others. I gave my own children priority in everything. My husband often reproached me for not giving this child we adopted. Her name was Erica, my full love, the same sacrifice and devotion as I gave to my own children. My husband had often scolded me for this. I had demanded more from this child than from my own, and the children themselves had taken advantage of this when they were growing up. They always made Erica out to be the guilty party. If something happened, no one wanted to admit it, Erica had done it. So Erica was sometimes punished unjustly. Well, later, when she had grown up, she said goodbye to us. She had become independent and went her own way. As far as material things were concerned, we, Magdalena, had done nothing wrong to her. We had dressed her like our children, we had given her enough food, she had the same as ours. But in the world beyond I was accused of lacking love for this child and was told that I had to make up for it. Yes, I was a little disappointed that I was accused like that, because I believed I had done a good deed. But then I had to learn in the spiritual world how love is repaid, but how lovelessness and unfair treatment are also punished. When I came to the other world, my own parents stood before me and lofty figures who introduced themselves to me as angels of God. They spoke to me and explained, "You see, you continue to live in the kingdom of God, your parents have now greeted you. You have raised 6 children, that is a beautiful, great deed on your part and on the part of your husband. You had to make many sacrifices and show great devotion. You had taken in another child, the child of a relative, your husband's brother. Your husband will receive the reward for taking in this child, because he was the driving force behind taking this child into the family and he also worked for this child. He rebuked you when you were hesitant and unfair. He tried to replace the father for the child, to be a father. But you did not give him the motherly love that you gave to your own. It is a pity that you did not do that. If you had fulfilled this task completely, your reward would have been infinitely great. You brought up 6 children, you and your husband had many worries, many problems had to be solved, 6 children were your own and 1 more. But we do not agree with the upbringing you gave your relative's child. This must now be made good in the spiritual world so that you can benefit from it in a later life. We want to try to transfer this purification to you here, in the spiritual world alone. Because, so they told me, there is also the possibility that one must enter into a new earthly life in order to make further amends with the burdens. But because I had been the mother of so many children and had also fulfilled my work with my niece, they would give me an easier path to purification. This easier path was as follows. I was told from the very beginning, your eldest son will also enter the spiritual world very soon. I knew it, he was ill, and my concern also applied to this eldest son. I myself had been allowed to live to a fairly old age, almost 80. I was told that first my husband would return to the spiritual world and then my eldest son. I was told that I could be the when my husband was welcomed, but not when my eldest son was welcomed. I would not be allowed to be there when any of my children were welcomed in the world beyond. This was supposed to be punishment, so to speak, for the lack of love that I had expressed towards my niece. At first I did not really understand it. I could not yet realize how much pain this would mean, because I had not yet familiarized myself with all the customs in this new world. I did not yet know what joy it is when you are allowed to welcome and accompany one of your loved ones. So I then welcomed my husband. The angels spoke words of praise to him for the great work he had done. They explained that we were not allowed to live together in this new world. My husband would go his own way, but later we would be reunited. But first I was to make up for what I had neglected in life in the spiritual world. I was to learn something about love. But now, when I entered the spiritual world, something was revealed to me that I would never have thought possible in human life. I had never believed in such a connection to the spiritual world. I did think that there was a heaven and a place where bliss could be experienced, but I had no idea what that would be. I had also prayed, including with the children, but I had no idea what would happen after death. And now I was to be amazed at everything that happened in the spiritual world. Now I was shown the pictures or the events in which the heavenly messengers help abandoned people or take care of those children who have lost their parents at an early age. So I was able to experience it like in a film. It all played out before my eyes. And I was amazed. I was able to learn a lot from it. So now am I trying to describe the experience to you in the way I saw it and experienced it so vividly. I saw this Erica, how she came to us as a small child, barely 2 years old. Now I also saw myself, how I put her in her bed, but how I didn't use many words for her, since I still had my other children to look after, how I stood at my children's beds longer than with this child. I had 3 children in one room, and so the older ones had to turn their eyes to the younger ones. Since I was staying longer with my own children, I only spent a short time with little Erica. But now I saw myself stepping out of the room. I had barely left the room when I saw spirit beings coming through the walls. They had bodies like humans, but they were dressed differently. Their clothes were very fragrant and the figures were very delicate in contrast to my own figure, which I now saw in the room. How I walked back and forth on the floor with firm steps, so to speak, and went from one door to the other, having to open them first to get into the other room. So I saw how these spirit beings stepped through the walls and that they were actually not tied to the floor on which I stood in human form. Instead, they were floating partially above the floor. It was as if they did not need this floor to stand on, but rather they were floating. They floated through the room. They bent down over the beds. They did it with my children and they did it with this little Erica. That's how I saw it. I had always prayed with the children and now it became clear to me that they were protected by guardian angels, that these guardian angels came to the little children, sometimes standing on the right side, sometimes on the left, sometimes running their hands over the blanket, stroking their heads, fiddling with their hair and the like. And these children, who usually fall asleep very quickly, themselves have no idea what is happening to them. But then I was amazed. I saw how the children's spiritual body separated from their earthly one. It seemed to me as if there was a double person there. The angels then took this spiritual body to themselves, took it on their knees and caressed it. I also had to see that they simply floated up and away with this small spirit body. I was not shown where. But I also saw how, after a relatively short time, came back again and held these children in their arms, walked up and down the room as if they wanted to rock them to sleep. So I had to see. The angels were carrying the child in their arms, while it was actually sleeping in the bed. How this was possible was explained to me later. I don't need to explain these connections to you, that it is the spirit body that has separated from the earthly body, as I was told. But now to the main point, I saw my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law coming. They came to their little Erica. Before that it was an angel who came to her, picked her up and put her on his knees, walked up and down the room with her and then sat down on a chair. Now I saw my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law coming into the room the same way the angel had come. And I had the feeling that the two of them looked much younger and much more beautiful than they had actually been in their lives. They were overjoyed to be with their child. And so the angel placed the child's spiritual body in the arms of the mother, and in the arms of the father.